Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are...
Hi, I'm Stephen Scott.
I'm Sean Preece.
And I'm Tim Schwartz.
Welcome to another Tech Talk. This is the technology show that is a technology show. Some people have argued this point with me. Many people have argued this point. In fact, too many people are arguing this point with me at the moment. Quite frankly, it is a technology show. Get over it, guys. This is a show. I'm just saying it now, right? This is a show where there's banter, and there's fun, and there's laughter, and there's silliness. That's what it's all about.
Hang on, we can't guarantee fun, just for legal purposes.
Okay, right. Advertising standards, I suppose.
That's second right there behind expertise. We can't guarantee expertise, we can't guarantee fun.
No, we can't guarantee anything, actually. No, you're quite right. Do you know what? Just stick with us. You'll maybe, hopefully, get something out of this. Sean Preece is here. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Stephen Scott. How are you? It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm so happy.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be with you, actually.
No. It's my pleasure, sir.
Okay,
thank you.
Right, okay. Tim Schwartz is here. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Stephen Scott. Hello, Sean Preece. The pleasure is all yours. How you guys doing?
Oof, dear. Americans, they're so cheery.
Oh, stop.
Oh, no, they're so full of themselves, aren't they? Right, yes, we have got lots to get through. Have we? Have you guys brought stuff to the table this week?
Absolutely nothing. There's barely anything out there. I swear I've got nothing.
Excellent. Well, looking forward to that.
Stay tuned. We will make gold out of this nothing, though. Stephen, you've got a story that's well worth everyone listening anyway. We'll come to that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about my TV that I bought, my fully accessible television. We'll be discussing that in a moment. Also, Tim, IFA, I'm not quite sure how we pronounce it, but it's the big technology conference everyone's been talking about this week.
Yeah, IFA, we'll go with that. Sure, why not? IFA. Yes, it is the big technology conference everyone's talking about, and a few little nuggets coming out of there, so we'll get to that later as well.
Yeah, so that's all coming up on this week's show. Right, so before we get into it, right, we've got the emails coming up later, and I just want to say a big thank you to our listeners who, you know, spend so much time writing in, you know, emails to us, and they don't just write in emails, they write in books to us. You know, these could get published.
I think that's more just to annoy you, because you've got to read them out.
Well, exactly. You know,
they want to see how quickly they can make that rest of your vision go.
I know, it's like they're testing it. It's like, how far can that retina go? Well, you know, I want to thank you, because we all really appreciate the emails. They keep us going. And, you know, you come in sometimes on a Monday morning, you're preparing the week, and you're thinking about the show, and, you know, maybe there's not a huge amount going on in the news, because not every week is technology specials. I mean, we're getting close to that season again, I guess.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we're going through the, you know, we've got Apple's big event coming up, we've got Google's next event coming up, Amazon are probably going to drop some new kits, so there's lots of stuff going on. But when the weeks are quiet, you kind of just want to, you know, maybe just find something interesting to talk about that hopefully people will like. And then your emails come in, and it is just such a joy. And some of the emails later, you hear for yourself, you know, they just really, they perk us up. But, you know, what it says is that, you know, clearly, although we do talk nonsense and we banter like crazy, you seem to enjoy it. And that's kind of what it's all about. So thank you for being there. Thank you for staying with us and supporting the show. It means a heck of a lot to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got to say, just the effort, it doesn't matter how long the email is, just emailing a show, it's something I haven't actually done, and I listen to so many. It makes a huge difference. It just makes it worthwhile, Is that being too slushy?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. No. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think that's too slushy at all. It is something special when you get an email in from a listener, whether it's good or bad or constructive, whatever it is, especially the good ones, of course. It is always so nice to get that feedback and know that we're entertaining, educating, you know, the people are enjoying it. So, yeah, absolutely. Well said.
Well, yes, we're going to get into the emails later. Chris is back. Hurrah!
Yay! Yeah. Although I did like Sighted Synth Lady, I must say.
Sighted Synth Lady, can't even say it. Sighted, that's why we got rid of her, because I can't say that. Sighted Synth Lady.
Well done.
Thank you. She didn't really do it for me.
I felt there was a little bit of a click there between me and her. There was something going on. There was a chemistry, that's all I'm saying.
So what you're saying is a heartless robot had some feelings for you. Is that what you're saying?
I have that effect.
You only got close to her because she was warm, because she was plugged in at the time.
I think we should be careful here. Okay, moving on.
Oh, we're not going to get into those kind of robots. That is a topic for the late night Tech Talk show.
There's an idea.
Tech Talk after hours, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. Let's not get into that. Right. Okay, so we're going to talk about the emails later, but I want to kick off with the TV news, because as you know, guys, it's all about me.
Yes.
And no one ever denies it anymore. They just go with it. But it's... It was an interesting one. So I get my new 65-inch Sony Bravia TV, 4K with HDR. I mean, all of that sounds amazing, but I don't know what half of that is. I just know it's got a good picture. And
don't say that. This is Tech Talk. Of course we know what that is, but we just don't want to get too geeky and jargon-based.
Yeah, you pretty much summed that up well. Okay, so I could tell you that it's 4K, which means it's four times the average picture quality of your normal television. Your 1080p TV is four times that. HDR is high dynamic range. But I didn't want to do that.
Oh, we did, you know?
Oh, wow.
I called his bluff. Well done.
I see. You thought you'd catch me out there, didn't you, Priest? Well, I see. You'll eat that one. Right, anyway. So I get this thing and...
back on four.
That's the television, yes. Utterly massive. And I'm like, okay, this is great. So we plug it all in and set it all up. And then I'm thinking to myself, right, I've seen online various reviews, and in the reviews, in the menu system, there is an option for accessibility. And this is what I talked about last week. I said, oh, because Samsung's got accessibility, LG, Panasonic, and now Sony. Fantastic. Well, not the one I got.
Oh, hilarious.
Doesn't have any. Doesn't have anything in it at all relating to accessibility. Not a thing. It has a remote control, and that's the kind of it.
Wow. Cutting edge. Yeah. I got to be honest, I am slightly surprised by that, because being 4K and being HDR, which is like the latest technology to come through to consumer TVs, I am surprised and disappointed that Sony hasn't put any accessibility in this.
Yeah, well, I think, to be fair to it, it's the cheaper one in the range, and you know me, I am Mr. Cheap.
Shouldn't matter. 65-inch with HDR and 4K should have accessibility.
Yeah, it really should.
Well, apparently it's because, and this is just going off what I've read, because of course, as we know, the information around accessibility in these devices is very sketchy. And a lot of it comes from people who are in the know. You know, your Jonathan Mosens, your Brian Hartjens, the guys who are out there who actually are kind of following this stuff on a fairly regular basis. Robin Christofferson, another one, you know, who's kind of really on top of this. Not like us.
I thought we were up there.
I think we think we're at that level, and I think they're up there laughing at us down here.
Yes.
But you know, hey, I like it down here. It's nice. It's nice and warm. But I think it's because, from what I've gleaned from the internet, that it's to do with Android. Android software is on the newer Sony televisions, and the one I got was a 2018 model. So you'd think it would have Android on it. It doesn't, for some reason. So either they're badging up the 2018 ones as actually it was last year's model. I don't know. But either way, the model I've got, it doesn't feature it. So it seems to be...
No. That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out to say, well, just because this isn't an Android TV, because it's Android, it's got... You know, Google have worked on the accessibility on their side. That's a cop-out. If Sony is going to put out their own TVs with their own software on, then they need to put accessibility in their own software. It's a cop-out to say just because it's not Android, then we shouldn't expect accessibility. Boo!
Okay, thanks. Well,
sorry.
Okay, I see what you mean, but I will say this. This TV does have limited smart functionality. What I mean by that is it's a bit like me. You know, it thinks it's smart to some degree, but really... It's not. So there's not a huge amount.
It's the tech talk of TVs, is what you're saying.
I've bought the tech talk of TVs. And essentially what's happened is this TV is great picture and all that, but the functions in it aren't really being used. Now, is that a bad thing? Well, yes. If I was using Freeview television, if I was using the aerial plugged into the TV to watch television, this would be a big deal for me, and it would be getting sent back.
Definitely.
How I'd send it back, I've no idea. It's 65 inches, for goodness sake. But I would be sending it back. However, I don't use any of that functionality. I use Sky, and thanks to our listener, Gordon Anthony, who got in touch and gave me a fantastic tip. In fact, gave all of us a fantastic tip about using the voice functionality on the Sky Q boxes. I'm now able to get somewhere close to an accessible Sky box, although not really anywhere near as close as we want, but it's at least I can get access to things. And I use the Apple TV for everything else. So there's actually a point coming perhaps in the future where I'll probably maybe get rid of Sky and just end up with the Apple TV, because it's fully accessible and now has all the different players on it. It's got BBC iPlayer, ITV Hub, it's got Channel 5, no Channel 4 for some reason, but it's got all those ones. It's got Now TV, Prime, and of course Netflix as well. And of course you've got all the iTunes movies and TV shows. So the Apple TV is the kind of hub for me for everything.
Can I just stop you just for a second for another minor rant? Prime on the Apple TV. What's that about? Why is the speech so slow? It takes it away from the voiceover of the Apple TV. It's painful to use. It annoys me. Sorry, do continue.
All right.
Okay, sorry.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Thanks. That's kind of all I wanted to say on it, really, because it's here, it's not very accessible, so, you know, it's like, hurrah.
Right. Okay, so it's not accessible. And now, for anyone that wasn't listening last week, of course, you did spend a good amount of time looking at the gorgeous and totally accessible Samsung TV.
Yes.
And then turned away from that to purchase the Sony because of the name. And obviously, it's always got a fantastic picture quality with Sony. So you've made the decision. You're not going to send this back. If it was me, it would be straight back in the box.
Yeah, me too.
Well, yes, I agree. But again, I'm not using the functions of the TV. I mean, the way I've set it up, actually, it can be started up by the Apple remote. The volume can be controlled by the Apple remote. So I don't really need to have any functions, actually, of the television, because I'm not using any of the setup functions. The TV is purely a screen, like a monitor on a computer. It's not being used for anything else. All the hard work is being done by Apple TV and its own accessibility. We can argue day and night about the accessibility of Prime Video, for example, which is shockingly bad compared to everything else on Apple TV. But it's...
Well, it's accessible. It's just slow.
It's
I can't find a way to change the speech rate.
So anyway, I just thought I'd mention it. And I just wanted to say as well, hello to Mark Upton, who got in touch on Twitter, who said, good to hear you guys talking about accessible TVs on Tech Talk. Is it me, or does Stephen buy something new every single week? Since I've been listening, he's had about 5 new TVs, 6 new watches, and a new tablet every week.
He's not wrong.
Correct, Mark. Well done. Well spotted, sir.
Well, I always say, I've said a million times, I don't exaggerate. And that's an exaggeration. A slight exaggeration from you, Mark, but you know, I do get the point. I am a bit of a buyer. You know, you get some people who are feeders, like to feed people. I like to treat myself to tech. Not quite sure what the analogy lies with those two.
And feed yourself as well.
Oh well, yes, that has been heard. Listen, I just want to say hello while we're on the messages from Twitter, because lots of you have been getting in touch there as well. I mean, we get the emails, which is fantastic, but some of you finding us on Twitter as well. Great show from RNIB. Says Tim Dixon, seems I may have started some cyberbullying towards Sean by suggesting he sounds like Muttley, which has led to him being called Boo-Boo.
Correct. See, it just starts with that one little mean tweet, and it leads to this cyberbullying. I don't sound like Muttley. My laugh sounds like Muttley. I'll give you that.
However, apparently it's my turn to get a name. You guys have been given names. I haven't been given one. Well, after the mammoth rant of last week, apparently, I am like Victor Meldrew.
That will mean nothing to Tim, I'm guessing.
No.
Just a grumpy old man, put it that way.
A grumpy old man who just says, I don't believe it a lot.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it. Yes, that kind of thing. Anyway, All that aside,
I like that one. It fits. Well done. We're keeping that one.
Yeah, okay, right, fine. Moving on, IFA. IFA. What is this thing? Basically, it's a technology conference that takes place that I've never heard of in my life before, but apparently it's a yearly thing.
It's a big one in for Europe. It's held in Berlin, isn't it?
Never heard of it.
Okay, okay. Well, there's lots of consumer-grade gadgets come out of it. It's cool.
Yeah, well, I suppose it is. Have you been following this, Tim? Is that a no?
Okay, yes.
Honestly, Tim, no, I haven't been, because like you, Stephen, I think maybe I've heard of this in the past, but I didn't really feel it was as big as Sean apparently feels it is. So yes, there are some consumer-grade electronics that come out of this, but I really never thought of it as like the big conference. So to be very honest, no.
Oh, just because it's not in the US, you know, it's not CES or whatever, you think, oh, it doesn't matter, it's just
minute.
In Europe. There's lots of, you usually see lots of laptops and things come out of this, you know, things that will be coming out next year. It is fairly big.
Well, I suppose it probably comes under the category, maybe we should just do this. News from the internet. I suppose it falls under that category, doesn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, so let's do it then, because, you know, let's talk about some of this. The event itself, as you say, it's a big event, Sean, although, you know, to only Sean. And basically, we saw a few things coming out. 8K televisions. I clearly bought a TV at the wrong time.
He 8K. Did 4K. Who yeah. needs that?
Yeah, who's buying that these days? 8K TV, which is entirely pointless, by the way. I mean, I don't know any. I mean, this is the point now where TVs. I've got my TV. I'm happy with my television, my inaccessible television. I'm so happy with it.
I honestly am. I'm happy with it. Keep
honestly,
telling yourself
I'm
that.
Telling myself every day I'm happy with it. But you know, 8K. I mean, seriously. I mean, Tim. You know, I know your wife has got sight, and your daughter has got sight. Even they probably don't want this.
Not only do they not want it, they don't need it, they wouldn't even use it. Matter of fact, I think I read an article that said your eye can't even see 8K television. So if it
can't
pick up that type of resolution, what is the point? But yeah, I don't see a point in this. The only thing I could see this being beneficial, especially to someone like you, Stephen, is when the 8Ks go on sale, or not go on sale, but when the 8Ks are released, that means the 4Ks will go on sale, and so that's maybe when you should have waited, but get your 4K cheaper. Otherwise, yeah, I don't see a point.
Kick him while
8K.
He's down, Tim. Well done.
No, thanks. It's a compliment to his cheapness.
No, it's not.
Well, I also spotted, I mean, there was a lot of announcements at it, and a lot of them, you know, to me just seemed very vanilla, to be honest. It was all very much like, another laptop, hurrah. If you are interested in a new laptop, then the only one I spotted that seemed to be of any interest to me was the Acer Swift 5, which is apparently the thinnest, lightest laptop around. I'm not sure about thinnest, but certainly the lightest one around. Very MacBook looking, because that's the way they all go these days. And it's 15.6 inch screen. Yeah, but I'm kind of boring myself with that.
No, right, okay, yes. That actually looked like a nice laptop. But if you looked at the laptops that were shown at IFA, the trend was for really small bezels. Now, that's always been sort of, if you think of the Dell XPS 13 laptop with its Infinity, I think it was called, display, very thin bezels, all screen, mostly. But that's high-end. We're talking £1,500 around there. But it started to trickle down into the mainstream, you know, the things that we normal people get, £400, £500, £300. Bezel-less is trickling down. Now, you may think, well, why do I care if it's a bezel-less screen? I'm not using the screen. But it does affect the size of the laptop. 11-inch laptop for me is perfect because I don't care about the screen, but it's a really nice size to carry around. Now, it's really hard to get an 11-inch laptop now. People don't like them because the screens are too small. Whereas if you can get a 13-inch screen in the size of 11-inch, I know this sounds odd, like TARDIS, 11-inch laptop, then people will go for that. And that's what's happening. Bigger screens in smaller packages. It's a good thing.
Okay, well, we shall see.
You don't sound convinced at all. Look, it comes down to laptops are going to be smaller, easier to carry around, thinner. A new Dell Aspire, I think, is coming out with an i3 processor. It's going to be a lot cheaper, and it's going to have the bezel-less design. Smaller, easier to carry around.
I think it's a good point, but you distracted me with the TARDIS. I'm just thinking about the new season. Oh. So you got me all distracted. I don't know.
Such a Doctor Who fan.
Such a geek.
Such a geek.
Shush.
Well, on the computer front, the one that actually intrigued me more, I mean, I like the look of it. I did like the look of the Swift 5. I have a bit of a thing for larger laptops because the one, you remember I've told you the story about my useless laptop that I bought. I'm not very good at this tech buying these days. I seem to have got worse.
Do they do a 65-inch laptop?
That's completely inaccessible, yes.
Yes, with no keys on it.
Yeah, right. It's just a screen. Well, this thing, this 17-inch one I got, it was the 5-year-old used Samsung, and I got it because it A, gives money to charity, but also B, it means I don't have to buy a new machine, which is probably less reliable than this. I actually really quite like it, and I like it particularly because it has a full-size keyboard. That's interesting to me. I think, I don't know if I'm alone in this, I'd be interested to hear other people's thoughts on full-size keyboards versus the smaller laptop keyboards, because a lot of my blind friends tend to have a laptop and then a keyboard plugged into it. So you've got that full-size keyboard, but I don't know if that's just I mean, it is a personal choice, but I like having a number pad. That's me.
I think that's down to the more power users of screen readers. Mm. People that like the numpads, it gives you far more control, easier control
thank you.
Over your screen reader.
Thank you for that. That was a compliment, I think. But yeah, anyway, the
I could be
the
wrong.
Acer Swift 5, yeah, the Acer Swift 5 doesn't have the large keyboard, but it is a nice laptop in terms of size and all that. Anyway, that was one. But the one that actually stood out more for me was the Dell are bringing out a new Chromebook, and they announced it at IFA. And this is going to be, and I can't remember the size, actually. I think it's a 14.1-inch screen. But it's going to have some proper hardware inside it. It's as if they're now starting to get to the stage where they're taking Chromebooks a bit more seriously. And what I mean by that is, the little Chromebook that I bought, the one which was 99 quid off a certain shop available online during a special day, during its height of season, shall we say.
Wow.
It was Prime
Day,
right? Prime Day in Amazon. Let's just get over it. So I'm fed up hiding it. I mean, what else is it? So, right. I get this thing, and it's good, but I'm using the TopBack, or the what do you call it, ChromeVox software on it, and it's a bit sluggish. It struggles a bit in places. If there's any kind of processing being done by the computer, it doesn't have to be much, the voice will stutter and stammer its way through.
Unusable, it'll be in a drawer.
Yeah, it's not the best. I think it'd be fine if you can see. This is actually a really good little machine. But if you're using the ChromeVox, I think it just needs a bit more power. Well, that's where the Dell comes in. The Dell has got an i3 processor, an Intel Core i3, which is kind of the bottom of... If you ever wonder, what are all this Core i3, i5, whatever? Well, basically, it's the processor speed, the speed of the thing, and the low end is i3, the high end now is i9. So you've got i3, i5, i7, and i9. i9 is like the best you can get, top of the line processing speeds. Your creative guys are using that, video editors and audio editors and all that, they're using that, photography. But the low end is word processing and kind of general internet tasks, but it's just a bit more beefy than the processors you'll find, usually Intel Celeron processors that you'll find inside Chromebooks. And I think this is a good thing.
Oh, of course, yeah. But for me, it comes down to the price point. What was the price point of this, did they say?
I think they're talking about $400.
That's decent enough.
£400?
Yeah, for an i3, that's decent. If it had been much more than that, I would have said, wait a minute, with an i3, if it was more than 500, that would have started to be, kind of a head scratcher. Mm. It would at least need an i5 if it was much more than that. So I think that's in the right ballpark. And for what it's going to do, yes, the ChromeVox screen reader is a bit sluggish. But like you said, Stephen, for somebody with sight, that's not a bad little laptop, especially if you're wanting just that low end or a starter laptop, something, kind of that quote throwaway kind of laptop, I think that's a nice unit to get.
I've changed my mind. Can I take back my previous answer? No, well, thinking about it, I mean, you could pick up a Windows i3 laptop for the same sort of price. And
Very true.
Overheads are a little bit cheaper here. I mean, the Google OS is free. Chrome Chromebook OS, the Chrome OS is free. So I would expect to see something with an i3 processor at the high 200s, low £300 mark, to be honest.
Okay, so if you want to get into the like for like on that then, if you were saying to me, well, I was going to buy a laptop and I've got £400 to spend, will I buy this Chromebook or this Windows laptop? I think I'd have to be checking out the specs very carefully, because what I'd want to make sure of is that the processor speed that was going to be on the Windows laptop was going to be fairly decent. It would need to have a solid state drive in there. There's no guarantee that it would at that price level.
Everything's solid state.
It's not. You say this all the time. It doesn't. Some of these low end ones do not have. They have 1 terabyte drives. They have 1 terabyte drives in them, and they are not solid state. And that's because obviously it's a more expensive hard drive to put into a computer. So at the low end of the scale, you're not going to get as much for your money, but you'll get more storage. So it looks better on paper, and arguably it is, but you're not getting the speed that you need. And I think when it comes to screen readers, just to pick up on something you said there, Tim, just want to be absolutely clear. You said about the Chromebook and ChromeVox being sluggish only with a slow processor. If you get a decent processor, you won't have that issue. Now, you might remember a few months back or a few weeks back, I talked about my little Mac Mini, which was lying redundant, basically, and I turned it into a ChromeVox, which meant I downloaded the software from Google. You can do this if you know what you're doing. You can download this sort of Chrome operating system, and you can put it onto any machine you like. I chose to put it on the Mac Mini, and it was blazingly fast, and the ChromeVox software didn't stutter once. It was brilliant. And that's running a Core i5 processor. We're talking, when was that machine? 2011. So that's 7 years old, that machine. So it's a very early Core i5 processor, but it's running it, and it's running it very well. And I'm thinking, well, on that basis, I would say that on a Chromebook where you do find solid state drives, they're just a lot smaller, maybe 32 gig, 64 gig, whatever, you will get more power to run your ChromeVox than you would on the cheaper Windows PC running JAWS or NVDA.
Very possibly. I agree with that. And if I was to look at a laptop personally, even though it would be a little bit more expensive, I would want an i5 at my minimum, most likely at least 8 gigs of RAM, because when it comes to screen readers, RAM is also extremely important. The more RAM you can get in that laptop or PC, the better it's going to be for the screen reader, to refresh and all that with the RAM. So I agree. The stronger those two things are, the better they are, the better the screen reader experience is going to be. And that's what it would come down to for me. Most likely, you could probably spend a little bit less money on a Windows laptop, but still get maybe an i5 with 8 or 12 gigs of RAM or more, and get that better experience than you would on a Chromebook. But again, you would just have to go spec by spec and see what you're going to get for the money.
I'll tell you the people I feel sorry for in this, and that's the people who need to use magnification. Because if you're using magnification, I think you really do need a higher powered machine, which will cost you more money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's funny because we think we need, we talk a lot, and we always tend to talk around the cheap end of things, because I think we all think everybody just wants to spend as little as possible, because that's what we do. Obviously, there are higher power, more expensive options out there. But I think when it comes to something like magnification, then I think you really do have to go down that route, because the low-end computers, if we go back to that £400 Chromebook or that £400 Windows PC, you're going to find real problems with the screen, because the screen quality will not be as good, which means, I mean, on the Chromebook, that the Asus one that I got, the Asus Toughbook, I think it's called, it's the 11.6-inch screen, the screen is so dark. And that's to me, right? So, I'm not the best judge of this, but it is a very dark screen as far as I'm concerned. And if I was going to use magnification, which in my case it'd be nose at the screen to try and see something blown up, it would be so fuzzy, it wouldn't even be worth trying, and it would be just too difficult. And you get that with the lower end Windows computers, and you even get that with the current stock of MacBook Airs. Anything that's non-retina display on the MacBook, don't even bother with Zoom.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't, with my magnification that I use when I do use it, it's high contrast, white on black background. I'm not sure I've ever experienced real fuzziness, you know, apart from my natural sight anyway, which is always blurry and fuzzy. But I've got it zoomed in to such an extent that I don't think it could get fuzzy. But you're absolutely right about if you've got magnification, and especially if you use magnification and a screen reader, you know, that really does take up some of the system performance. And the screen, when we are talking cheaper, we're, you know, the darker the screen is going to be, the backlight, the battery that the brighter screen demands, that's where they cut down on the price. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
I want to talk about something else, and that is a speaker that came out at IFA. A new smart speaker, by the way, because of course there aren't enough of them. How many, between us, how many Echos and Google Home Minis do you think we've all got? I mean, we must have about 30 between us.
Between all of us?
Oh, come on. Exaggeration.
20?
Maybe 20.
Well, I've got about 7.
I've got an Echo, and I've got a Google Home in my living room. Because I switch between them. They both live side by side. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and if you know the right questions to ask, you can get them to talk to each other.
Yes, exactly.
What about you, Tim?
I have a Amazon Echo as well as the Amazon Fire TV Cube in my living room, and then I have a Dot in my bedroom.
Hold the phone. Hang on. Sorry, Stephen. A Fire TV Cube. Where's the review?
I am slowly working on it because my TV is not accepting it very well. There are some really good voice and screen reader, you know, abilities of it with the screen reader built in. But that would be about the only thing I could review right now, because the functionality of the Fire TV Cube to switch it between your HDMI inputs is sort of half working right now with my TV, and I'm not sure why. So once I figure that out and resolve that issue, there will be a review forthcoming.
So would you say it's, well, I mean, it's pretty hard to tell at this point then, but I don't really see the difference between the Fire TV Stick and the Fire TV Cube, and the Cube is not out in the UK yet. It's only available in the States, if I'm right in saying.
The very nice thing about the Fire TV Cube, once I figure out whatever this issue is that I can fix, is that I can ask it to switch HDMI input, so I can tell it to switch to my Apple TV or switch to my cable or satellite provider box.
Oh, I see.
I can actually even ask it to play a specific show, and it will determine, okay, is that on Netflix on your Apple TV, or is that on Prime? Is that on your satellite provider? And so I can ask it to play a particular show, and it will find out where it is and switch to it immediately. And then I can also use my voice to control the volume, channel up and down, all those kind of things, in addition to many apps that you can download to use for it, and then all the additional just usual Echo features, of course. And so it does have a lot of very nice hands-free voice activated features. But that's kind of my problem right now. I'll ask it to switch to one of the other HDMI inputs, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And when it switches, sometimes I can't get it to switch back. So I need to talk with Amazon support and see why it won't switch all the time. I have been able to get the volume up and down to work, the channel up and down to work, but only most of the time. So it's I think it's my TV, quite honestly, but I got to figure that out.
Buy a new one.
So if I had a friend...
I'd like to.
If I had a friend, yes. Right, and he perhaps, rather foolishly, gone out and bought a fairly inaccessible television.
Yes.
Would he be able to perhaps use this as a way to sort of show that TV
who's
up,
boss?
Yeah, and say, right, you know, you're smart now, thanks to me. Would that be a good idea, do you think?
I think it would be to an extent. Of course, it's not going to access the settings or features of your television itself. That's still on the TV to provide that. So if you wanted to change, you know, internal settings of the television, it's not going to necessarily do that. However, to make it smarter, even smarter than what a stick would do, yes, absolutely. Because I like the idea of being able to switch between HDMI input, so I can tell it, turn on or switch to the DVD player, or switch to my cable box, switch to the Apple TV. I like being able to do that, being able to change the channel with my voice, pick out a program specifically by voice. Those are such amazing features that once I've got the TV settings set, for lack of a better word, everything else that the Cube does is fantastic.
Well, anyway, aside that, what I wanted to tell you about was this wireless speaker, right? I think that's where we're going here.
Let me just answer your question. I've got a Dot in the kitchen. I've got a Dot in the bedroom and a Google Mini in the bedroom. I've got a Dot in the studio, and I've got an old Echo in the gym. So, yes, I have got lots of them.
I've got 7.
Well, you beat me. Top trumps.
Yeah, I'm way behind with 3.
I just keep buying them. I keep finding them in like, you know, what do they call those places? Those places you go in and people sell their stuff for next to nothing.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I go in there and it's like, you know, oh, 20 quid. Yeah, that'll do. And I think,
I'll have it.
I don't have enough rooms to put them in, but, you know, it's going to just buy a bigger house. Anyway, so, yes, this new smart speaker, we are going to get to it. Bang & Olufsen have unveiled their own, I think it's called Beosound Edge wireless speaker.
Beosound, yeah.
Beosound, is it? Right, okay. So this is a Danish consumer electronics company, Bang & Olufsen, who, I have to say, you know, they do produce excellent quality sound, but it comes at a price, shall we say. This is a £2,900 aluminium beast of a speaker that can either sit on the floor like a piece of furniture or be hung on the wall as a piece of sound-emitting artwork.
Wow, I love that. Sound-emitting artwork. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's inspired by the shape of a classic pound coin. Well, that's bored me to tears right away. Apparently, it's breathtaking to ogle, and it's got some seriously nifty features worth writing home about, too. Well, I tell you, it should have all of those nifty features. Apparently, the big talking point about it is that you can rock it back and forwards to adjust the volume. Or if you prefer more traditional controls, there is a touch interface. It's also got huge amounts of speakers as well, all kinds of fancy stuff. Bluetooth, AirPlay 2, Chromecast support as well. But it's retailing in November in the UK, and it will be £2,900. No thanks.
Merry Christmas to Stephen.
No, I wouldn't want that. I just would not want that.
Oh, I would want it. Ridiculous. I just couldn't justify it.
Oh, if the price was right, Stephen would have it.
But yeah, that's true. B&O, though, that is top end, isn't it? That's up there.
There are other ones, though. Netgear are bringing out one, the Orbi Voice. What? Yes. Netgear's Orbi Voice, which is the, if you've got the Orbi, I think you've got that, Sean.
I have. I'm more excited now. I'm interested.
I do. Yeah, I do too.
Oh, there you go. Well, I was going to buy it, but I went for BT's Whole Home Wi-Fi, and it's brilliant. How's your Wi-Fi doing, Sean?
Not great.
Moving on. So, if anyone wants to get the laptop connected to the internet, well, this is another way of doing it. You can use this Orbi Voice because it's actually a smart speaker with Wi-Fi built in. Which is actually quite a nice idea. Although I have heard that some of the Amazon Echo devices do similar, but it's something we need to investigate a bit further, I think, on that one.
I cannot find that feature, the hotspot feature. I cannot find it. I've had a good look.
Also, there's some as well. Libratone, who are known for bringing out some good ones. The Zip 2 and the Zip 2 Mini are Bluetooth bellowers, as it says here in this article, with added Amazon Alexa smarts. There, I said it. Sorry. She's going to speak to me in a second, I can tell. But apparently the Libratone Zip, the first one, got a very strong review. So they're saying the other ones should be the same. So that looks quite good. So, yeah, there's lots of interesting stuff. But there's one thing in particular that really stood out for me. And I wanted to talk about it just briefly here on the show. Because last week I talked about accessible television. In fact, we all did. We talked about accessible TV and how, you know, we wished it was more accessible. And I said at the end of it, kind of throwaway comment, I said, oh, white goods were coming for you next. And then IFA happened. And something rather exciting, I think, has come out of it. And that is that the company Bosch, who you will know as creating lots of different white goods, washing machines, dishwashers, all that, cookers as well. Well, they have brought out a new home app, a home control app, a Home Connect app, I think is what it's called, which actually is for Bosch products. So you buy your Bosch washing machine or whatever, and you've got an app on your phone that will let you control the device. Now, generally, and I've heard about a lot of these over the years, we've had a lot of app-controlled devices which basically either tell you something's happening or they let you switch it on and off. And that's kind of it. Or they'll tell you that, for example, if you're doing a washing, that the washing's come to an end. It's more about alerts and information from the device. But this app lets you control it down to individual settings. Now, this goes back to the age-old debate about this particular area. Do we really want all of our products to be controlled by apps? Is that a good thing? What if you don't use a smartphone? It goes back to this argument. You know, we've had this argument I don't know how many times on the show. Lots of people have different views on it. You know, I'm sure we'll have our listeners will tell us more about what they think about this. But I think for us to maybe discuss this for a second, because it really does intrigue me, this idea that your dishwasher, for example, you can set the cycle you want. You will get alerts to let you know when it's done its bit. If it's a washing machine, you'll be able to tell it what load you want the washing to be on at and what the temperature would be and all of that. Or cooking, what the temperature of the food should be, how long it should be cooked for. You can set all of that with an app. I am quite excited by this.
I have to say, I am too. I think that this is fantastic. Of course, there's always the same security and privacy argument, making sure that if you're using this on home Wi-Fi or over the internet, to make sure that nobody can get access and hack the app. People are going to be all afraid that that could be a possibility, that somebody's going to hack your app and, you know, turn on your stove or whatever and burn your house down or something. But that all aside, all that crazy conspiracy hysteria aside, I really like this. I think that this is a fantastic way, especially for us in the VI community, because this gives us additional access that maybe we wouldn't otherwise have. So many things nowadays are no longer tactile. They're all flat panel, nothing recessed or nothing, nothing able to be felt. Even if you put dots on it, sometimes it still can just not be very accessible. And I get the sleek design that they want to have of these things nowadays, but that really hurts people like us. And so to have full control in an app, yeah, I am excited by this.
Yeah, about time. You know what? I'm not going to get too excited by this because I've heard it all before. It seems to be taking its time to actually come through. I thought we would have had this by now. The smartphone is a perfect universal interface for all this stuff. Everything connected to Wi-Fi, easy control, accessible control. It should be great. But hopefully, I think the security, Tim, like you mentioned, is a big issue. So maybe that's what's holding it back slightly. But yeah, it sounds perfect to me.
Does sound good. I think I agree. I agree with you to an extent, Sean. I mean, I know you're saying you've heard it all before. I think my concern is, will these apps from this company be accessible? Now, obviously the answer to that is we hope so. And if not, let's bombard them with emails until they make it accessible.
Yes.
But, you know, the problem is that the market, you know, who's going to take the leap first? No, it's not going to be me. But, you know,
it will. So, maybe,
but somebody's going to have to take the leap, and then we've got to go through it all, and hopefully we will see progress in this area.
Well, and of course, we've just purchased a new dishwasher. It is a Bosch dishwasher, but I have no idea if it's accessible with this app or not. So now I'm going to have to go investigate this model that we've just purchased and see if it will work with the app.
Of course it won't be. Tech Talk, we buy everything that's not accessible.
Just for you. That's IFA. There are lots of other things going on, but to be honest, those were the kind of picks that we saw that I think were the most accessibility related ones I could see. Everything else just seems fairly meh. Right, moving on. Sorry guys, I think it's time for this.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
And it's time to introduce the man himself once again. It's Sighted Guy Chris.
Hello, Tech Talkers.
Yay! Welcome, Chris.
Yes, it is good to have you here, Chris.
Well, thanks for having me back on the show.
Well, yes, we are pleased to have you back, because let's be fair about it,
well,
guys.
I'm not.
Sighted, well, come on. I know you wanted Sighted Synth, but quite frankly, Sighted Synth Lady wasn't really my cup of tea, if I'm honest with you. So, Chris, it's great to have you here.
Yes, always a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's get into the emails then, shall we? Let's start off with number one.
Okay, our first email today comes from Brian, and he says, Facebook are apparently adding a CAPTCHA for its website that asks you to choose pictures that show a specific thing, like road signs, to prove you're not a robot. Is this happening everywhere now? As a non-Twitface user, I am not affected. Also, I've been encountering some sites saying click on the picture with a insert object name here in it to prove you're not a robot. This is surely completely inaccessible without an alternative offered in many countries. I tend to just go elsewhere, but imagine if Amazon did this. That's from Brian.
Well, yeah. What if Amazon put in one of those captures? I mean, first of all, let's just explain what those are. Those are the ones that you get, and I've had this a few times. Dropbox does it now, where you go on and it will bring up a grid of pictures, and you've got to select which ones have got certain things in them, like choose a taxi or, you know, road signs or whatever. And yeah, it's not very accessible for the likes of us.
Not very.
Not at all.
At all. It's not accessible at all. It's terrible. But I will say all of these should have a link on it if you tap through, which says, you know, alternate non-visual method or something like that. I don't think I've come across one yet that doesn't have the option for audio capture.
Unfortunately, I have. I wish I could remember what it was, but here recently I was on a website that only had a visual captcha and no link could be found for an audio captcha. Ugh. And even that being said, when you find the audio captcha links, sometimes it's so difficult to understand. They make it sound so awful that you're like, wait, what did they say? And you have to go through 10 different ones to find one that sounded good enough to actually use. So yeah, visual captures are the bane of my existence. The audio ones aren't, I mean, they're better obviously because they're slightly accessible, but there's got to be a better way. I like the ones that are, you know, solve this simple, you know, math problem, 1 + 1, you know, keep it simple. But otherwise, if you get too much more, you know, detailed than that visually and all that, I get the point of it. I understand what they're trying to do, but there's got to be a better way.
Well, there is, and Google already has it. It's the it's just a tick box. I am not a robot. Tick the box and hit enter and you're done.
But unfortunately, you could program the bot or the robot to check that box, so that's not really the most secure way to do it.
I know, but the Google algorithm that checks that's the whole point. They've put the effort in the background. They will check various things that we don't know about to see, you know, what sites you visited before. Maybe even, is this guy using a screen reader? You're very unlikely to get a spam bot using a screen reader that's going to do that. So there are various things that it checks to verify, okay, the likelihood is that this is a human.
A visually impaired spam bot.
That would be cool. Equal rights.
I remember being called that at school, I think, or something very similar.
That was your sandwiches.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, I think these are terrible. But the I'm not a robot thing I have found has actually brought up that. So you click on the I'm not a robot, and then it brings up that grid of images.
That's right.
Anyway, that's another problem. So you kind of get a selection of both. And maybe that's because those websites don't have the, as you say, the capability of the Google's one. But I think these are terrible. I completely agree with you on this one, Brian. They are awful, and the prospect of more websites with them terrifies me because it will lock us out. And yeah, you're right. Can you imagine Amazon doing that? My shopping days would be over. It's as simple as that.
Perhaps they should.
yes, maybe they should, yeah. Right, let's get another email. Chris, what else have you got there?
Next email comes from Keith. He says, hi guys, you were asking about Android apps. I've used Android for about 7 odd years. I like the openness of it and not having to use things like iTunes. Oof. But I have recently got myself an iPhone SE, partly because I like to keep my phone in my pocket and I have no sight, so why have something the size of a paperback book to cart around and lose? But the main reason was I wanted the Seeing AI app and others that I couldn't get on Android. There are fors and against both, but I will say I do like the iPhone more than expected. There's one Android app for sending text messages which takes some beating, and sadly it's not on the iPhone. It's called MMS Pro and it's free on the Play Store. The thing that's great about it is the speech recognition, which is turned on and off by the proximity sensor. The idea is that you put the phone near your ear till you hear the chime to speak. Moving it away turns it off, and you can repeat this as often as you want and when you want to send your message. You do the same, and after the chime says send, and off it goes. I did find that it worked even better if you hovered your hand over the sensor, which was more reliable. It's a great app, and I did miss it on the iPhone. Sadly, it only works on text messages. Would be so good if you could do documents and emails as well. I found the discussions on TVs interesting, if only they would hurry up and make a DVR set-top box with voice guidance. Like a lot of people, I hardly ever watch live TV. It's always recorded. The RNIB used to sell one, but that died a death. It wasn't great, but better than nothing. Keep up the good work. Good shows. All the best from Keith Waters.
Oh, thank you, Keith. Appreciate that. I want to start with the MMS Pro that he talked about. I think this might have been the answer to the problem I had with dictating into messages, because I mentioned with the Android phone, one of my issues was actually using the keyboard. That app sounds brilliant.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect remedy for the texting woes that you were having on Android, Stephen. So that might be something you might want to take a look at, because I know you were so just struggling so much with texting on the Android compared to the iPhone. So yeah, that's a good suggestion.
I've got to say, dictation on the iPhone though is really easy. Just do the two-finger double tap for the magic tap, and when you're in a text field and you've got the keyboard up, and you will start dictation. So I don't really have an issue with that. Also, it does sound familiar.
We'll get emails.
It does sound really familiar to the Lift to record iMessage feature for sending audio messages. I think that's off by default, but you can put the phone to your ear. Again, uses the proximity sensor. And as soon as you put it to your ear, it will start recording, and you can send an audio message. And when you take it away, it will send it. So there is also...
On messages?
On iMessage, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know. I never knew that feature existed. Things you learn on this program,
amazing.
I had no idea. So what is that? Is that inside your settings somewhere you have to turn it on? Or?
I don't know, because
you don't know.
I haven't
right.
used
Thanks
it
that,
myself, because I find it more annoying than anything. But I think if you do send an audio message and you just lift it up, you receive an audio message, if you lift it up to your ear, it will play it automatically.
And you're right there.
And yeah, I think you can also do the same for recording. It does the same thing. Maybe it's something in the settings. I'll have a look for you.
Sounds like fake news.
It's true, honestly. If anyone knows, please tweet or email.
Yeah. Please do, because otherwise he's starting to sweat now.
Yes.
Yeah, he's starting to sweat now. He's like, what have I just said here? Right, okay. And the point about accessible televisions, yeah, I know, DVR, set-top boxes. When will companies like Sky and Virgin and Freeview and all of them, frankly, come up with something that's accessible? I mean, the TV manufacturers are starting to do it, which means that if you buy a new television, you get the option. But
sometimes
I think it is ridiculous that in 2018, yeah, sometimes, yeah, no, not in mine.
And quite honestly, it's no better here in the States, because we have a couple of DVR boxes that have accessibility built in, so you can read the menus and things with a built-in screen reader and use the DVR functions. But they're always the highest end of all the boxes that a company offers. So if you just have the standard, you know, issue box that you get when you sign up for, you know, for cable service or something, those never have it. You have to get the higher end box, which means a higher fee or a cost to you, and it's so ridiculous. And there is a box with the company that I'm with for my satellite service that has a lot of built-in visual, you know, features, screen reader features. It even works with Amazon Echo, and I'm not putting out the money to get that extra box, because I just feel that that's ridiculous. It's unconscionable.
It is.
So I'm just staying with the standard box that's not accessible.
You should get that. I don't want to be all blind entitlement here, but I'm sorry. If there is a box out there that makes their services accessible to you as a visually impaired person, why should you have to pay more for that? That's terrible.
Exactly.
I have made that argument over and over again on their phone with the managers and supervisors, and they just don't understand. So if I wanted to do that, I'd have to take it to the next level, and I got to make that decision. But no, I think you're right. I think that it shouldn't be something that I have to pay extra for, but in this case it is, unfortunately. It's always the higher end box.
Listen to Judge Judy sitting there. Right, listen, one more email. Right, Chris, one final one.
And our final email today comes from Kelly, who says, "Hi gang, I thought that I would drop you a little thank you message. I know that there are people out there who don't like banter and a good laugh, but I certainly needed it to cheer me up. My mother passed away after a long illness, and I am missing her. As you know, I love technology and banter, and you guys have cheered me up no end. Thank you so much for making me laugh. I need it at a time like this. I don't know you guys personally, but I feel that we are a happy family. Keep the banter going. And Sean, I didn't know I can use my iPhone as a voice recorder until now. Take care, and thank you for making me feel better. All the best from Kelly Muggeridge of Loxwood in Sussex." Wasn't that nice?
Wow.
Oh,
that is fantastic.
Wow.
I really don't know what to say to that. One of the hardest things anyone can go through in their life, losing someone. And I'm just so sorry, Kelly.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm so sorry. My condolences for your loss. But if we can make anybody smile, as well as teach them a little bit about what's going on or educate them about technology,
yeah,
at
we'll
the
try.
Same time, you know, if we're able to somehow mix those two with that banter and the laughter, then we've done, I think, what we've set out to do. So I'm very glad that we could make you smile.
I can't believe you brought a tear to my eye, Kelly, in the final part of the show here. But, you know, thank you so much for that email. And, you know, yeah, you are part of the family. You're part of our family right here. And, you know, we're a bunch of misfits, but you are more than welcome to be part
of it. You can't choose your family.
Exactly. You don't get much choice. That is it for our show. Chris, thank you for coming by.
Always a pleasure, chaps, and I'll be with you next time on Tech Talk.
Yay!
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Chris. that is it for our show for this week. Just a final word on the podcast. If you want to subscribe to the show and listen to us whenever you wish, be 2 a.m, you're thinking, I can't get to sleep. I know what I'll do. I'll put on Tech Talk. They'll send me right off. Then you can find us on... you can find us anywhere, actually. You can find us on your smart speaker now by asking your smart speaker to play RNIB Tech Talk. That sometimes works, but we are working on it to make it better.
You got to say it slowly. I think that's a trick.
I think it is, yeah. And my accent doesn't always work well with it, but yeah. So there's that, but also you can get us on your podcast player as well. Just search for RNIB Tech Talk, wherever you get your podcast from, and check us out there. We will be back next week. Of course, we are getting very close to, what are we, 2 weeks away from Apple's announcement?
We missed all the leaks from Apple. I don't want to spoil it anyway.
Well, look, we'll get into that next week, all right? Because, you know, leaks, so where are we here? We've got, because the next show will be the day before the Apple event. So
we need to do a special. We need a live somewhere where people can join us.
You want to go live?
Well, not on the radio. It's not going crazy.
Special live something. Yeah.
No, we should. You know, we should go live. We should. I mean, can you imagine what this would be? I mean, this is a brilliant show, but when it's live, well, it could be a whole different thing.
The things people miss out on. Yes.
Well, look, we'll talk to the powers that be. You never know; they might be up for it. But then again, as this goes out, I can hear them saying, "Nah, it's all right." But either way, we will do a special. We should actually do a special after the Apple event, because I think this one's going to be quite a big one. And big in the sense that we're going to see some, probably 3 new phones, possibly some new iPads, people are talking about new AirPods, the Power Mat.
Apple Watch, of course.
Yes, of course. I'm going to leave you on a bit of a bombshell, all right? Just a bit of a bombshell. It's not much of a bombshell, because for once I'm actually using something that's accessible. I am using my Apple Watch again, and...
Yay!
I decided to use it properly. I turned screen curtain on so that I can't see anything on the screen. Not that I can really anyway, but I can't really see what the screen's doing. And you know what? I'm kind of loving it. So there you go. Anyway, on that bombshell.
Until next week,
I hear it.
But then I can walkie-talkie with you when the new watchOS comes out.
Exactly. Guys, that's it for our show this week. Thank you so much for the emails, especially to Kelly this week, who wins email of the week, I think.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And listen, keep on smiling. We will try.